I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice is prepared to go to that place that God has prepared for His people. I want to ask that you pray for me tonight that the Lord will help me deliver this message. Tonight I want to address, with the help of the Lord, the greatest epidemic that we face all around us. It's the desire to put ourselves first instead of God. It's the desire that the Apostle Paul said in the last times that men will be lovers of themselves. The desire to be self-centered. It's the thing that entered Satan's heart and led to the creation of hell. God created hell for the devil and his angels because Satan lifted himself up and tried to overthrow God. It was the first temptation Satan used to tempt Adam. Satan tried to make Adam think that he could be something outside of God. But the Scriptures tell us that Jesus said in John 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." Do you hear those words? We often think that we're something when we're nothing. But He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." This word that I want to share with you tonight can mean to be lifted up, conceited, full of oneself, haughty, or high-minded. It means to live for the glory and honor of self. And the bad thing about this word, it always leads us to destruction. It's dangerous when we see it in ourselves, and the word that I want to share with you tonight is it's pride. The Scripture says pride goes before destruction. Pride keeps us from doing all that God would have us to do in our lives for His glory and for His honor. Pride keeps us from living a God-centered life pride keeps us from honoring God and keeping Him in the center of our lives, because we often live for us to be in the center. Because you see that if God is in the center of our lives, every day we wake up, we realize that every breath that I have, God has given it to me. Every time my heart beat, God has given me that. Every time I can go to the workplace and make some money, it is God who gave me that ability so that I could be able to come to the house of the Lord and to give unto Him part of those first fruits. Amen. Not only of that, but to give of my time and my talents. But I'm afraid that in the church that many of us are living partially for God in some areas of our lives, but there's many areas of our lives that we're self-centered, that we're saying, God, we're not going to give You all of ourselves, and we're not going to give You all of our time, and we're not going to give You all of our resources, because we think somehow in our minds that we have done it by ourselves. It's dangerous, isn't it? When we look into the mirror and we see pride creep into our hearts. Webster's Dictionary defines it as inordinate self-esteem, or having a high view of ourselves. The problem is that when we have a high view of ourselves, we have a low view of God. Do you know that why many sinners do not come and bow their faces before God and cry out with all of their heart for salvation in front of everybody is because they have a high view of themselves and they have a high view of others, but they have a very low view of God. Because when you have a high view of God, you do not care what anybody else thinks. You realize the only one you need in your life is God. And He's the only one that can save you. Nobody else can save you. And so I'm running to Him with all of my might, and I'm casting myself at His feet, and I'm crying out to Him for mercy, because He's the only one that can save me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. because I want to be saved. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. The old preachers in days gone by had used this word that you have to come to the end of yourself. You've probably heard that many times from preachers throughout the years that you have to come to the end of yourself. And what does that mean? That means that you've got to get to a point of, I can't do anything to save myself except cast myself at the mercy of God and beg and plead that He might grant me salvation, because mama can't do it, grandmama can't do it, we can't pray into heaven. Only God can look down on your lost condition and see the humility of your heart, that you realize that He is the one that I need. He says that He will give grace to the humble. Do you know that the road to heaven tonight, it begins with a humble heart, a contrite spirit, a broken heart over sin? You might say, well, preacher, I haven't done very much wrong in my life. I may have disobeyed my parents when they told me not to clean up my room, and I said, I'm not going to do that, and I may have lied here and I may have done that. Well, let me remind you that the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and even those transgressions are sin against the holy God. And so whether you're young or whether you're old, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If any of us could have saved ourselves, Jesus would not have come down from heaven. He would have remained in heaven. But He saw that every one of us were on an equal playing ground. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all are in need of Redeemer. All are in need of a Savior. One that can lift us up out of this miry clay and to put our feet on the solid rock. And when we get into that condition, where the only place that we can look to is up, isn't that when God saved you? That's when He saved me in my bedroom one night when I had nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go. I was broken in the condition of my sin, under condemnation and under the wrath of God. And that night as I cried out to Him, He granted me mercy. Tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to turn to the Old Testament book of Obadiah, and I want to look at a verse in this chapter here. It's one chapter, the book of Obadiah. Do you know what it was that kept me from humbling my heart before God many years ago? It was pride. Do you know that what it was that kept me running away from God and almost caused me to be a church dropout? It was my pride. Do you know that it was pride that made me think that God did not see the things that I did in the dark? I thought I was fooling Him, but God is high and lifted up, and I was not as high and mighty as I thought I was, and He had to bring me down to a low place. Because there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 3 is what I'll take my thought out of. As you consider this book in the Old Testament, I want you to know that every Scripture in the Bible is inspired by God and is profitable for us. In the book of Obadiah, God gives us a picture of this nation of Edom. And it's really as you look at this nation of Edom, it's really, we can see a picture of a person who walks in fleshly desires and takes no thought of spiritual life. As we read these verses here, we're going to get a picture of a nation who thought they were untouchable. They thought that they were invincible. They thought that God could not even bring them down to the ground. But I want us to hear these words that the prophet Obadiah brings to this nation, this entire nation. Here's what he says. I may read a few verses. But he says that the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground. Edom had felt that this nation had built, literally, they had built their towns and their cities up in the clefts of the rock, up in the high mountains, and they thought that they were fortified. There was no one that, even if they brought a great army, there was no one that could bring them down to the ground, because they would shoot them all down. They were powerful. They were pompous. They thought that they had it all secure and they were fine in themselves. But in their pride, they were deceived. Do you hear what Obadiah says here? The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You know, so many times as we walk around in this life and we allow pride, a little bit of self-centeredness to rise up in us, we begin to think ourselves something when we're nothing, that you and I have been bought with a price. There was nothing of worth or value in and of ourselves except the fact that we were made in the image of God. But He saved us. We brought nothing to the table. We were poor. We were wretched. We were blind. We were lame and unable to walk on our own. But God saw fit to come to our rescue, and He is the one that we should praise. He is the one that must be glorified in the church. He is the one that the Apostle Paul said, if you want to boast in anything, let us boast in the Lord, because He's the one that has done it all for us, and He's the one that's lavished His grace on us. Oh, glory tonight, glory to His name, that He reached down to save me and He reached down to save you, and He's willing to save anybody in this church house tonight that will see them themselves as a sinner set apart from God, separated from Him, under this wrath of God, under condemnation, that if you continue to walk in your pride, if you continue to be ashamed of God and unwilling to take a stand for Him and say, Lord, I need You tonight, you will be led to destruction. Pride always leads to destruction. If I have a title tonight, it's going to be the self deception of pride. And from this passage, I want us to consider the following things. Pride deceives us to forsake God. It leads us to forsake God. And how many times have we seen this in our own lives? It takes a week-long revival for our hearts to get back to where they need to be, because so often we go back out into the world and we begin drifting and we get knocked back a little bit closer on Sunday morning, but then we drift a little bit farther, and then we get a little bit closer to the Lord, and then we drift a little bit farther, and by the time 6 months has gone around, our zeal for God has waned and we're waiting for another revival. But I want to remind you that God is able to give us revival at any time of the year, any moment, any hour, that we will say, Lord, forgive me for the pride of my heart. Forgive me for drifting away from You. Forgive me for thinking that I can live a single day without You, because You're the one that gives me my very breath. But so often, we begin to fortify our own cities. We begin to build up our own kingdoms. We begin to build up our own security and our own defense systems, and we begin to think that, Lord, I've got this under control. I really don't need You that much right now. Oh, that is dangerous ground to be walking upon. So I want us to see that pride deceives us to forsake God. Secondly, pride deceives us to feel invincible. Do you know that there are many who walk around just like that Edom did? God, You can't touch me. You can't bring me down. I'm going to live forever. And they drive 80 miles an hour down the road thinking that nothing's ever going to slow me down. That's the danger of pride. Pride also deceives us to forget our neighbors, and that's exactly what Edom did. They forsook their neighbors. When we allow pride to creep into our hearts, it causes the love for God's people and the love for others to wane, because we begin to think that everybody needs to serve us instead of us serving others around us, because God's love has been so good to us that Jesus has served us. He has gone to the cross. He has washed us and made us clean. And then we begin to think that everybody needs to serve us. You know, often as pastors, we think we feel like we have to beg people to come to church, but if people would really see themselves for who they are, they would be beating down those doors and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said when God struck him down on the road and asked, Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do because you've been so good to me. I don't know. I just want to help somebody. You've helped me so much. You've forgiven me, Lord. Even when somebody does something wrong to me, I've got to forgive them because you've forgiven me so much already. That's what humility does for us. But pride makes us think it's all about me, and that's why people go church shopping, because they're looking to be consumers of what programs can be offered in the church and what I can get out of the church instead of what can I give to the church, because so many are so self-centered that they come to church thinking this church needs to serve me, and when they don't do something the way that I think they need to do it and they rub me the wrong way, then I just go to another church, and then they go to that church because they're filled with so much pride and they find out somebody will rub them the wrong way there, and then they'll go to another church and another church and another church, and they'll never get it. They'll go their whole lives immature and the faith because pride is gripping their heart when God is meaning it for us to serve one another and love one another because God has already done so much for us. And pride will lead us to face the reality of judgment. Edom thought that they would not be brought down. But God's Word through Obadiah says that nation will be wiped off the face of the map. Amen. Do you know that pride, if you continue to walk in pride and you do not humble yourself before God, it will lead to judgment. If you allow pride to be unchecked in your heart, it will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy this church if you allow pride to be unchecked in your heart and you begin to think that you're something when you're nothing, because the only one that we need to be worshiping here tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the same one that reached out to me. He's the same one that saved you. He's the only one worthy of our praise today. Let us lift Him up. And you know that there was a day that, as we consider pride deceives us to forsake God, there was a day that Edom didn't even exist. Edom was the descendants of Esau. If you remember Rebekah and Isaac, they had children. They had Jacob and Esau. And from the line of Esau came the nation of Edom. Do you know that Edom didn't even exist at one point? But yet they had it puffed up in their hearts that they were something. They were a great nation. They were going to do what they wanted to do. Do you know that in our own lives that you and I, there was a day that you and I didn't even exist? You know that there was a day that you and I were in our mother's wombs and we were helpless. If not for the grace of God, we wouldn't even came out to take our first breath. But it was God who enabled us to take our first breath. It is God who has sustained our help even up to this day. But we often think that, Lord, I'm the one that got me here. I'm the one that made it this far. But I tell you, it is God that has given you your breath right now. And if you're lost and separated from God, it is God that can take that breath from you right now. And the Scripture says, wherever the tree falls, there shall it lie. If you leave this world without humbling yourself before God, you'll end up in the same place that the devil and his angels end up. And that is in hell. Edom had been created by God, but they became lifted up in pride. And it says here in the very first verse, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen or the nations. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. God had already put His opposition against this nation. And it's just a reminder to us that He is resisting the proud. You will not be able to come and get saved walking up and down this aisle saying, Lord, you've got to add me to your team. No, you're going to come. If you want to be saved tonight, you're going to have to come down and you're going to have to get on your knees and you're going to have to cry out to God to have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I can't save myself. And if you'll humble yourself tonight, He's willing to save you. He's willing to save you tonight if you will humble yourself. But so many times we allow this pride to attack the glory of God. But God said, I will not share my glory with anyone. Man's pride places God below man. In Psalm 10 and 4 it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, the pride of our countenance will keep us from really humbling ourselves before God as we should. And it reveals a lack of love in our heart when we have pride in there. And Edom hath thought they were something, but they had forgotten the one who was really the king over all nations. They had forgotten the ruler that was over them. And tonight I want to remind you that the Lord is a ruler over your life, whether you acknowledge it or not. God is God. There is no one in this room that has the power or authority to dethrone God. I believe it was Job that God told. He said, can you go up there? I love looking at the constellations. And my favorite in the night sky is Orion. And God told Job, if you think you're so big, why don't you go up there and take your finger and pluck one of those stars out of the belt of Orion? I don't think there's anyone in this church house tonight that had the ability or power to tell one of those stars to quit shining. And so if that's the case, I believe we need to find ourselves in the rightful place of worship to this great God, because we can't control the sun, the moon, or the stars, but I tell you, He sprinkled them out there in the sky just with His fingers. He's much bigger than you ever imagined. Pride makes us feel invincible. In verse 4 in Obadiah says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You see, this nation of Edom, much like us, they began to become self-sufficient. It's kind of like what the Apostle John said, that the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. Those things are not of the Father. But so often we become self-sufficient, as Brother Lynn preached this morning about the church of Laodicea, that they were rich by worldly standards, but they were poor in spiritual matters because they thought they had everything they needed, but they were neglecting the thing they most needed. I'm afraid that's what happens in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see the world's goods that we've got an overabundance. As I testified to the other night, I gave a confession of my own home that there's so many things in my own home that we've got a two-car garage and only one car can fit in it because the other side of it is a storage unit that I don't want to pay $50 to somebody else down the street to store these things. We need to get rid of things because we allow them to overtake our lives. But Edom had become self-sufficient. They thought they had it all under control. You know, so there's so many people today that are filled with self-sufficiency. That I've got everything I need. I've got everything that I need. I've got a job. I've got money. I've got a car. I've got a home. I've got a family. But you know that if you have it all, Jesus said these words. He spoke against this idolatry of self-sufficiency. He said, what shall it profit you if you gain the entire world but you lose your own soul? I want to make an appeal to you fathers and mothers tonight that if you are here tonight and you want to give your children everything the world has, but you neglect the most important things in life, that is the salvation of their soul, that you're training them to think that all the thing the world has to give you are the best things in life. But that's not the best things in life. The best things in life are the things that God gives us. The blessing of seeing somebody saved, the blessing of being saved yourself, the blessing of being a member of the church and being faithful to church and putting the church first more than all these other things that we spend our lives being devoted to. I want you to consider how much time you spend doing other things on the outside of the church rather than you do building up the kingdom of God through the local church. And then you begin to see, what do I really love? What are the things that I really set my affections on? Because if they're not set on God first, things will get misaligned. But praise God, He's brought us into the house of the Lord tonight that we might get realigned on the things of God, that we might walk humbly before Him, because He said that as you humble yourself before Him, He will lift you up. But pride makes us feel invincible. They began to rest in their own security. They thought because they lived high up in the clefts of the rock that nobody could touch them. And in their minds they thought that, and God said, even if you could, fly high as the eagle. Did you hear that word picture? He said, even if you could lift up yourself and fly high as an eagle, even the storms of life, you could rise up over them. He said, even from there I can bring you down. And we all know that an eagle, they often put their nest high up on the rock, way up out of place where nobody could touch them, and they're able to look down at everybody else. That's what pride does. It makes us look down on everybody else. It actually makes us look down on God instead of up. And I'll tell you, when we do that, we're so messed up. But God said, even if you put your nest up in the stars, even if you have an eagle that could nest all the way up in the stars, He said, from there I will bring you down. Pride makes us feel invincible. It makes us to find our security in so many other things than God. And we could talk to many men in the Bible. We could talk to Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, who was the most powerful man that walked on the face of the earth as his day. He was a king. And you know what he found out? He said, there's no king like the king who has all dominion and all power and all glory. God humbled him down, actually made him insane for a period of seven seasons there in his life, until God brought him all the way down. Oh, we could talk to that rich man there in Luke's gospel, that it says that he was clothed, and I believe it was in purple and fine linen. It said he fared sumptuously, or he feasted every day. That would mean that he could go to Dillard's and buy all the polo that he wanted to wear, and he could go to every restaurant he wanted to in Jackson every single day. But I tell you that he had all those things in this life that they had to offer, but he realized real quick, when in hell he lifted up his eyes, how poor he really was. And he said, Father Abraham, will you send Lazarus just to give me one drop of water? Do you know all the money that he had in his life could not purchase one drop of water in hell? Pride makes us put our security in so many other things. You know, it also makes us put our security in religious affiliations. That just because we're affiliated with the church, then that gets us right with God. There's many that have they've come to the front of the church, and they've been in the baptismal waters, and they've done all these things, and they think, well, because I'm affiliated with the church, then that means I'm saved. I'll tell you, if you haven't been born again of the Spirit of God from on high, if He has not washed your heart in the blood of the Lamb, if you don't have a no-so salvation where you can say, there's been a time in my life where I humbled myself before God, but God raised me up, then I'll tell you that you're religious affiliation will not get you into heaven. You might say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, let's talk to Judas just for a minute. He was closely associated with Jesus. He walked in that school of discipleship for 3 years, but he left this world. He took his own life and he left this world. He split hell wide open because he thought, just because I was close to Jesus and maybe I would be okay. But he got so close to heaven. But his pride caused him to betray the very one that could save him. God said to Edom that he would strip their security. You know that in the end, that Edom's pride would cost them everything. They had eventually ceased to be a nation. Do you know that if you continue to walk in pride and think, I really don't need God, if you continue to walk in pride and think, I'll find another way except through the cross, that I really don't need to seek Jesus and I really don't want to do it in front of everybody else, do you know that it will take everything away from you? Do you know there's going to come a great separation one day? Jesus says that He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. You know, that's an analogy, as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. But the reality of that is that there are those in this room that have been saved by God's grace. And there are those in this room, perhaps, that have not been saved by God's grace. And at the end of time, God is going to separate those who know Him from those who don't know Him. And that means there's some loved ones, perhaps, that are either in this room or maybe out there still walking in pride that don't know God. that we're going to be separated from for all of eternity. Pride will cost people everything. Not to mention, pride has a way of impacting our relationships and keeping us from loving our neighbor as we should. In this book of Obadiah, Edom had become a nation that when Israel was needing help, they said, "We're not going to let you pass through here. We're not going to let you drink our water." And pride has a way in our lives to take away the compassion in our hearts for others. And Edom actually rejoiced in Jacob's troubles. Pride causes us to be lifted up when others are suffering. It causes us to be callous when others are hurting. You know, that impacts our prayer life, doesn't it? When others are hurting and we're kind of callous, we've heard that this person's sick and this person's sick and this person's lost. And instead of having a heart of compassion to pray for them, often pride just causes us to be calloused. And finally, as we look in this book, pride leads us to face judgment. In verse 15 it says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen or the nations." The day of the Lord, the final day of the Lord. You know that we are racing toward the final day in the history of mankind. We are racing toward it every day. As you look around our world today and you see the condition that it's in, we are racing, we are running toward this day that God has been speaking of, that there is a day that's going to be the final day of the Lord. When He sets the record straight. And He says here, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." God said that Edom would get exactly what they deserved. He goes on to write that they would drink the cup of God's wrath and would be drunk with destruction, and there would be no survivors. You know that our pride will lead us to face judgment. But humility will lead us to that place tonight where God's judgment has already been poured out against our sin. You know where that's at? You know where God's judgment has already been poured out against our sin? It's a place that everybody needs to be tonight. I pray if you've been saved, you've already ran there. You've ran to the foot of the cross. You've looked up to Jesus to realize that in Christ Jesus, He, the wrath of God was poured down upon Him. He faced the judgment that I deserve. Even as you and I would have been there, we would have yelled, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" But even there, He would say that if you would get under the shelter of My wings, I'll have mercy on you and forgiveness upon you. Will you allow pride to cause you to forsake God? Will you live a lie that you're invincible, that you're untouchable, that you are safe in and of yourself from the wrath of God? Will you live a self-centered life, comparing yourself to other people? You know, many people think they're pretty good. And by world standards and by comparing ourselves with other people, we can all make ourselves feel better about ourselves, because there's always going to be somebody that's worse than us. But if we flip that around, there's always probably going to be somebody that's better than us. But the thing is, we're not being compared. It says if you compare yourself with yourselves, you are not wise. It is God. It is God that we need to see. It is God who says who we are. And He says, God says, there is none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. But tonight I can tell you about the righteous one. That even in our pride, when we thought we were invincible, even when we were self-sufficient, and even when we were self-centered, and even when we thought we had life where we wanted it, Jesus Christ came pursuing us. And out of His great love, the Holy Spirit began to draw us. And as it says here in verse 3, He says, "The pride of thine heart has deceived thee." Oh, I pray tonight that you won't allow pride to deceive you. He says, "Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, You realize they didn't say these things out loud. You know, pride often is just something that festers in our heart. We don't usually say a lot of things that we're really thinking out loud. It's just stuff that we view God and we view other people and we talk to ourselves and to make ourselves be lifted up. But here's what they said, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" The last verse of this scripture says, "And the kingdoms and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." The kingdom shall be the Lord's. You know, John the Baptist and Jesus said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I want to close with this by telling you how you can enter into His kingdom. He said, "Repent ye." You must turn from yourself. You must turn away from all hope of saving yourself. You must turn away from your parents, your grandparents, and anybody else you're depending on saving you. You must turn from that. Turn from your sin. He says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you know you can enter the kingdom of heaven tonight? Where God rules and reigns tonight? You know how you do that? The Edomites said, "There's nobody that can bring us down to the ground." But tonight, if you will, wherever you're at, if you'll humble yourself down, if you'll make an altar, in a sense, if you'll bring yourself down to the ground and realize that we're but dust in need of a Savior. Did you not have to build an altar in a sense when you got saved? Did you not have to get down to a time and a place, Lord, where I've been trying to do this all on my own? And you had to get down to a place where, "Lord, here I am. Have mercy on me, a sinner." There was a man in the Bible that was a publican who was a low-down, rotten scoundrel in his community. That's the way they viewed him. But he beat upon his breast and he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, the Bible says that day he went away justified. He had joy in his heart because in humility he entered in through that door. He realized that Jesus is the door. He realized that Jesus is the only one that can let me in. He realized that Jesus and Him alone, that He's able to save me. He's willing to accept me. Everybody's talking about accepting Him. He's willing to accept me. Oh, thank You. Praise Your holy name that You're willing to accept sinners like me. Lord Jesus, will You take me by the hand? Will You reach down and lift me up? Lord Jesus, oh, my heart's in turmoil. It's broken down. Will You give me peace? And oh, He'll give You peace. He'll walk you through that door. He'll take you all the way to glory because it's a road to humility. It's a road where the only one that we can glory in is the Lord. You're the one that saved me. I didn't have enough money in my pockets. I didn't come from the right family. I didn't come from even from the right church. But Lord, You saw me one night when I was in need and You reached down Your long, mighty arm. When You found me down on the ground when my heart was bowed low. And You raised me up. And You set me on a solid rock. Tonight, if you're lost, I pray that you won't be self-deceived by your own pride. But I'll pray that you'll see you need Jesus. And this is how bad you need Him. You need Him more than your next breath.
Amen.
You need Him more than your next breath. If you'll get to that point, He'll save you and He'll use those breaths to give Him glory and praise the rest of your life. And you will never be the same. Will you please seek Him tonight? As we get a song of invitation, will you please turn from your sin? Will you seek the Savior? I beg of you to heed His Word.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
$50 is the bottom thing. $350 is the total.
While we're getting ready to sing this song, I want to say to you that are here tonight, the nation of Edom that Brother Brian read about tonight is no more. They do not exist today. Because exactly what God said would happen, did happen. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, a computer, you can Google Edom, you can Google Petra, and what is there is a memorial, a monument. It's a tourist place. People go there to see this marvelous, marvelous building that is carved in the solid rock where these people felt like they were invincible, unreachable. And when you go there, there's nothing there. It's empty. And it is a monument to the monumental ignorance and pride of those people. But it is also a monument to the truth of God's Word. I will bring you down. And He will. And He can. And lost friend, He will you as well one day. And it will be irreconcilable unless you come to Him now and give your heart to Him. I plead with you tonight, do what the preacher said. Seek the Lord with all your heart while we stand together and sing. Finish this song. I fear, brothers and sisters, that America is following in the same footsteps that Edom was in their time. We've gotten big and we've gotten powerful, and we just really don't need God as much as we do anymore. And they're saying to God and to Jesus Christ, we really don't want you around us anymore. Do you realize that in Scripture, when it speaks about the end of time, that there's no mention of America in God's Word at all? No mention of it at all. It very well could be that America's end is going to be just like Edom's. God may bring us down, and we may very well be on the very threshold of that happening. That's why we stand in need of revival in our churches. Listen, our trouble's not from Washington. Our trouble is not from the White House or the State House. The trouble that we're in this country is in our churches. Churches that have just lifted up in pride and just really don't need God that much anymore. And we're living in desperate times. And lost friend, you are living in these times. You need God tonight. Please, while we continue to sing, would you reconsider tonight? Would it make any difference if someone came and spoke to you tonight? Would you come and seek the Lord? And brothers and sisters, if God is dealing with your heart, we become timid. We become lax. We become worried that maybe we'll offend somebody. They won't like it some little bit. Or maybe they'll quit coming to church. Listen, lost souls need God in their life. I thank God tonight for every soul that came to me, pleaded with me, come and seek the Lord. While we wait just a few more minutes, make a decision tonight. Make a decision to say yes.